Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio on the road in Niles, Ohio. Reason here, I'm here, is because the Steakhouse Spikes are on the road, but we can go on the road. We've always had that capability, and we utilize it often to take you places along the way. Such as our ability to be at Live for Life on Friday. And to get six Penn State football players on in the strength and conditioning coach. It is hot in central Pennsylvania. It is hot here. It is 95 degrees here in Niles right now. And that's the high for the day. 95 degrees here. And not dropping off. And there's no threat of a thunderstorm here today either. I mean, none. Whatsoever.
That's good. That means you won't have a delayed start as the other day.
Well, not worried about the first game of the series. All I care about is what it's like on getaway day.
Tomorrow, yeah. Good point.
That's a little bit more important in terms of what time you start. I've told you the story about Connecticut, right? I'm doing a series at Connecticut 2 years ago, and we'll do the show next week from Dodd Stadium in Connecticut, Norwich next week. And I'm doing the game, and it starts at 7:05. And I remember Zach Von Rosenberg was pitching, and he received like a $1.2 million signing bonus. And, you know, he'd been good to that point. Well, he comes out, he pitches a great game, but the game flies. It is nothing end of six. Well, they're in the seventh inning, okay? It's 10 after 8. We're an hour and 5 minutes into the game. And it is the top of the seventh. State College finally scores. They get it done, the whole thing. The game ends at 8:41. I decide not to say anything in the broadcast because I don't want to jinx, boy, this game is moving along quickly. And then suddenly you go, well, they sent 12 batters in the plate. 9 scored. There were 8 pitching changes. You know, and you're trying to avoid that, okay? So I decide, don't say anything. And you know me, I don't believe in jinxes, but I thought to myself, this is getaway night.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, this is a man who doesn't believe in jinxes at all. And what are you worried about, right? A jinx?
Well, I had to drive back that night. And I thought to myself, don't say anything. The second you say something, so they'll all go haywire. Well, it goes an hour and 36 minutes. State College wins the game. I do the post-game wrap of all post-game wraps. We are done and gone. And I'm on the road at 9 o'clock. I got back at 3:30 in the morning. So thus, you can see my desire not to say anything.
I can understand now.
It took a 6.5-hour drive.
I know. I've made the trip once or twice myself. Not exactly from that location, but from Massachusetts.
That's
always a fun trip before the sun comes up.
Yeah, it's a little longer than it's not as long as it is from Lowell. Lowell's a haul. That's right by the New Hampshire border. But I always pick these two series because my mom lives in Connecticut. My son lives in New Hampshire, right over the line. He lives in Hudson. So I'll get a chance to see them when I go up there next week. So that's why I pick it. You know, I usually pick 14 road games a year. I pick the 6 Williamsport games, and then I pick 8 other games. Well, I get 2 here. I picked the 2-game series. I thought that was pretty smart.
That sounds pretty good, yeah.
That's a veteran move up and back, and then the 6 that take me back to where I grew up. So I can combine seeing my mom and my son all at the same time with getting some work in. Then after that, I'm home the rest of the way through, and I've got 2 games at Williamsport in the month of August, and then the next road game I have is at Virginia in football. So,
Well, we were talking last hour about some of the players that may or may not be traded. One name that keeps popping up of interest for the Yankees, along with Shane Victorino, is Justin Upton. And he can block trades to the Yankees if he wishes to, which I thought was an interesting little addition to your contract.
Well, he can block it, but he probably doesn't want to be in the same division as his brother.
Well, I just thought, I mean, I've heard of trade, you know, trade clauses, but one that specifically mentions a team, I hadn't heard that before.
Oh, there are guys that specifically say, I don't want to go here, here, and here. I mean, they say that's certain places they don't want to go. He'd be a valuable addition to anybody, I think, Justin Upton. I really do. I think he is somebody absolutely worth exploring a trade for. Now, how heavy is the price? Just like I can tell you right now, Carlos Quinton from San Diego, a lot of people have talked about him. You need the word I have is you need five prospects to get him.
Wow. That's expensive.
That's expensive. That they would prefer minimum four, but probably five prospects to get him. Because they don't really want to trade him. But if you really want to bowl them over with something that they like prospect-wise, then you do it.
See, Upton, I was just checking Upton's contract. He signed through 2015. He's got a six-year, $50 million deal, the way it looks.
Yeah, it's about what Andrew McCutchen has with the Pirates now. McCutchen has a six-year, $51 million deal. That's about what he has. Now, obviously, we've talked about a variety of things here. I want to point out that what we talked about in the opening hour of the show, because the audience changes over all the time, and because the audience does change over all the time, some of you are just getting out of work, some of you have been running errands and missed the first part of the show, whatever it happens to be, or you finally have a chance, you finally got home, you settled in, you're finally at the car radio on for whatever reason. In the opening hour of the show, yes, we did talk about the Phillies and about the possibility of dealing Cole Hamels and about the five-year, $120 million contract he's been offered by Philadelphia. Talked about the possibility of trading Jimmy Rollins and Shane Victorino. We talked a little bit about the Olympics, but we also did spend a lot of time in the opening hour of the show, especially the opening 40 minutes of the show, Kevin, where we took questions from our email, took questions from our Facebook page, and also took calls on the air as well, dealing with the NCAA and Penn State. So we did do that in the opening hour. So whatever theme that you wish to pick up on, at 1-800-795-9565, the Lenape Solar Hotline, go right ahead. Because if you have questions, the questions deserve answers. Now, can we give you absolute answers on certain things? No, of course we can't, but we'll do the best we can. And so that's what we'll do. I want to make sure that the fans understood who are tuning in an ever-changing audience what we have been talking about. If you're saying, gee, I haven't heard you bring up, well, I want to let you know that we have brought it up, and not only have we brought it up, we've talked about it extensively, and we're more than happy to talk about it with you as well. Because obviously the issue with the NCAA and Mark Emmert's comments on the Tavis Smiley show on PBS last night has people asking questions now about what the NCAA might and might not do. I will point out that Mark Emmert last night with Tavis Smiley did use the word if, and he emphasized the word if, and then went into his talk about how horrified he is by this. And he did use the words should there be, and then same thing. So he couched each one of them with those critical words. And people have been asking about it. I know that Rick from Montoursville, when he called, made the statement about, you know, the collateral. You know, again, the damage is done, and it's tremendous damage to the victims, and they're first and foremost, no matter what. We're talking about the ancillary issues, and you can have collateral damage and improper collateral damage in the ancillary issues that we're talking about. And that's what he called about and wanted to discuss, which we did. And we've dealt with on the email as well, because there are people concerned as to what the NCAA could do. Number one, Penn State has to make its response to the NCAA inquiry. That hasn't happened yet.
Let me take this moment. We'll go to the Lenape Solar Hotline because we have Roger from Sealands Grove in his car on the line with you, Steve.
All right, Roger, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Talking about moving forward at Penn State, it had been a really good offseason for recruiting. And I think, those rating services are what they are with the 3 stars and 4 stars and 5 stars. But your Rivals.com and your Scout.com had Penn State's recruiting class so far ranked pretty high. The free report coming out, does that give second thoughts? Any chance that we lose recruits? Does it slow the process? Just the uncertainty looming over the program?
I think Bill O'Brien and his staff, Roger, have to approach this as if they are moving forward and that they are going to be in charge of a program for a long period of time and not slow down. I think they have to approach it that way. And what I'm impressed with so far, Roger, is that, number one, they've recruited very well on paper. And we'll find out in actuality. But as you point out, on paper, they've recruited very well. So they've been able to put out a message that obviously young people appreciate and like very much about the direction of Penn State football under Bill O'Brien and his entire staff and what the place can mean to these recruits. So that's a big plus. Second of all, you're obviously going to have people that will attempt, for obvious reasons, to use this against Penn State. Yet, the recruits that have verbaled so far, not one of them has backed away. And that tells me a lot. I think in that area, Bill O'Brien and his staff have done a marvelous job. And to be frank with you, there is no handbook on how to handle this. But if there were a handbook, Bill O'Brien would have written it.
Sure. Let's switch back to Cole Hamels. If we haven't talked about him enough, I'll extend that a little bit. The Phillies are on a three-game winning streak.
They're 10 out of the wild card.
Right. They got Roy Halladay going tonight. They got Cliff Lee going tomorrow. You know, let's say for the sake of argument that the Phillies in the next 2 weeks between now and the 31st, can get within 8 or 9 games of that second wild card, and you got everybody back. And you haven't signed Cole Hamels. Then the question is, if there's any chance you're going to get that second wild card, you're going to need Cole Hamels. You can't deal him. I don't think you can deal Cole Hamels and have any hopes whatsoever of getting that second wild card. Yet, at that point, what do? If you can't sign him, if you know he's going to test the free agent market, do you try to get a Mike Bolt or whomever? And just say, okay, it's not worth going after that second wild card? Or do you say, no matter how awful the Phillies have been so far, if we can just get another piece or two for that bullpen, in a 4-game series, if we can throw out Lee, Halladay, and Hamels all healthy, we can still do something in October. Which side of that do you see, Steve?
I side on the area. If there's 7 or 8 games back in the wild card, I keep Cole Hamels and I ride the season through and I take my shot at it, because the St. Louis Cardinals last year showed that you can come into this thing and you can still come out of it and win a World Series out of it. The wild card has had success in the World Series over the years. Anaheim was a wild card. They won it. The Red Sox in 2004 were a wild card, and they won it. The Florida Marlins were a wild card when they won it. I think if you look at it and you think you can close ground, because the Mets are fading, the Braves are so up and down, the Dodgers are down right now, and the Central is a division right now where you're going to tell me, really, the Pirates are the threat to make the playoffs. I think the Phillies, because for the first time they have their team together, if they're seven games back in the wild card by the time we get to July 31st, I ride it out even if I can't sign up at this moment.
Sure. My prediction is the Phillies will send Victorino somewhere just to get something in the middle of the bullpen. I don't think they'll sign Hamels now, but I also don't think they'll deal him, and I think they'll make a very strong attempt to sign him again in the offseason. And I think keeping him for the rest of the season will help their chances of signing him in the offseason. I think if they were to let him go to Texas or wherever as a rental, I think it would have been harder to bring him back to Philadelphia.
But I think the only problem with not signing him during the season and letting him go to free agency is the Phillies don't like to give six in long-term contracts, and I think it's going to take at least 6 years to keep Hamels where he wants to be, or to get Hamels where he wants to be.
Well, Kevin, I think we'll do that. I think the Phillies will go to six because I think the way the conversation is going to go, they're going to offer 5 years and somewhere between 120, 125. I mean, 120, that was a number just thrown out by John Heyman of CBS Sports. That really wasn't a hard number from Ruben Amaro.
Right.
But what they're going to do is they're going to throw out 5 years and somewhere around $23 million a year. And then Cole's agent's going to say, you know, we like that money, but can we just extend that another year? And I honestly think the Phillies will. I think they'll go, so, you know, if you go 5 years, I think they went 5 years on Cliff Lee. You know, if you're going to go 5 years on a guy in his 30s, why not go 6 years for the guy who's 28? Yet I see Steve's point about was Johan Santana worth a six-year contract? No. You know, very few pitchers are, but this is a 28-year-old homegrown ace, and I think the Phillies will find a way to make it happen. And also, if the Phillies pull out of this thing, what if they go a different direction? Say, you know what? Zach Greinke will take less than $120 million. We'll go after Zach Greinke. All of a sudden, Cole Hamels might find himself, you know, with not as many suitors as he thought, at least in that $140 million, $150 million stratosphere. It could be the Dodgers against the Dodgers. Well, because the Yankees aren't going to – they want to get out of that luxury tax thing. And the Dodgers, he might not have a lot of suitors at that $140, $150 million level. It could be the Dodgers bidding at the Dodgers if the Phillies were to pull out of it.
And the other part, too, is if you offer Zach Greinke 5 years, $120 million, I bet you get him.
Sure. You know? You get him for less.
And you get a quality pitcher that a lot of people would love to have. I say you keep him. You ride it out. I think you have 2.5 months. You finally have Ryan Howard who homered last night. You have Utley. You have Halliday tonight. I think you should find out exactly what you actually have in your tank. And I think you go for it. And I think that's what I would do. If they go on a bad streak and they fall 13, 14, 15 back, then you and I revisit the conversation. But as of today, I say you keep them, you ride it out, and see if you can close the gap. Because if just getting in opens the door to winning it all.
Agreed. All right, thanks for your time, fellas.
Kevin, thanks so much, Roger. Appreciate it. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Let It Be Solar Hotline. Let's go to a break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Kevin just bopping back and forth wearing that orange shirt he always has.
It's not that time of year. I only wear that in the fall.
Really?
I have the tie on, though.
You're wearing a tie today?
Yes.
Wow, I'm not. I'm wearing a Ralph Lauren black golf shirt.
No. Made in China.
I don't care where it's made. It doesn't matter to me. I just, you know, it was a gift.
Speaking of the U.S. Olympic Committee, we'll have a two-time Olympian on the program tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yes, we will. Looking forward to hearing
Kelly Smith Puzo, the former Sealands Grove Seal hockey player, went to, I believe, the University of Maryland, and then is playing Olympic hockey and played in Beijing and will play in London. So we'll talk to her tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, looking forward to that. Pennsylvania tied with New York, as Sarah Bartlett said in her news, tied with New York for number 2 among total athletes of the games. First state.
That was an Olympic stat I did not know.
That's why we love Barty.
It's one of the few I didn't know.
I mean, Barty came up with the one. You, Mr.
Wow.
Olympics.
I'm telling you.
Mr. Olympics.
I need to study more.
I mean, Barty over there is working away, the nose of the grindstone, making it happen.
No. Next week, I got plenty of time to study and delete everything off my DVR, ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I already have a guest host for next week lined up for you. You're out.
I just want to know. No. I'm studying up to find out who the decathlete is for Belarus.
I got my buddy Buner on next week. We're not talking much about the Olympics.
Can't top Buner.
Buner. On the show, gone. Barty in the news coming up next. She's always prepared. The only one of the three in the show that really is.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Facebook, on our email, or on the phone line, the Let It Be Solar hotline at 1-800-795-9565. And we're at the Sunbury Motors Studio. We've taken it on the road again. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Isn't that funny? You just named the bump music for the next rejoin.
Of course I did.
On the road again.
Yes, on the road again. We're at Lift for Life, and we have, 7 different guests on Lift for Life on Friday, and we'll have more guests as the week goes along here. Next week, by the way, is Big Ten Media Day. Oh, by the way, and I haven't seen this come out yet, but today in Hoover, Alabama, was SEC Media Day, and they were supposed to put out the first announcers top 25 college football poll. And...
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I have never voted on this before. I've never voted for a top 25 in my career. But I was sent an email from, I think it's InsideSports.com, and one of the writers, and asked me to be one of the participants. Now, have you found the poll?
Not yet. I've been looking for it. I was hoping you knew where it was when you mentioned it.
I don't know where.
I have not seen it yet. I've been looking for it the last day or so. I wasn't sure what it was going up.
Well, it was supposed to come out today, the 17th.
All right.
And I can at least tell you how I voted. And believe me, this is as irrelevant gets in college sports, what my top 25 poll is. It is totally irrelevant. But you know what? They asked me to do it. I saw the list of names on there, and the list of names of people that were requested to vote, I looked at it and thought, well, if a lot of these guys are going to vote, I can have some fun and vote for it too, because I know it means nothing. It has nothing to do with the BCS, has no influence, nothing, not a thing. I don't even think that you end up getting that the team that wins the national championship in this poll and is voted number one at the end, I don't even think they can get Brazier food at Dairy Queen.
Who was putting this poll together again?
It was done by, let me get the email here. Just all right. slow down.
Okay.
And once I weed.
Okay.
Once I weed through yours.
That shouldn't take long. Most of mine go to the junk mail anyway. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, my junk mail's really full. But it was the first, and we were talking about Cole Hamels before, too. We've had an extensive conversation about that. And... let's see, where is this thing? This thing, I got to go back to July 9th, I think. Because I voted last week. It had to be in time for today. Let me see here.
Because I've been looking all over the place for this, and I haven't found it.
Right.
Which doesn't say much for the poll, does it?
No, it really doesn't. Let me see here. When the heck did I vote on this thing? It'll be under, you know what? The heck with that. It's under my son email.
I mean, I could find the top 25 football broadcasters from the Sporting News.
Yeah, well, I didn't make that cut.
I was going to put you in there anyway, but.
Thanks. It's nice of you. Okay, it is, here's the original email. Go to.
Chris Collinsworth made that cut?
Did what?
Chris Collinsworth was number 2 on that list.
I want college football announcers?
Active play-by-play broadcasters and analysts in pro and college football were considered for the list.
Combo. I think Collinsworth's really good, by the way. Inside college football. Go there.
Maybe it's because he was a Bengal.
Okay. We are scheduled to release the preseason poll July 17th at SEC Media Day in Hoover, Alabama. The 2012 announcers poll. So insidecollegefootball.com. Try that. And here's my poll. This is what I submitted. Under, again, please, everybody, grain of salt and totally irrelevant determines nothing in life. But they asked, and in the past, I've never participated in things like this unless it was in an official capacity, such as voting for all Big Ten, voting for the Wooden Award, things like that. So I voted USC number 1. I voted Alabama 2, LSU 3, Oklahoma 4, Michigan 5, Florida State 6, Georgia 7, Wisconsin 8, West Virginia 9, Arkansas 10. Then I voted Oregon 11, Clemson 12, Nebraska 13, Penn State 14, Stanford 15, Ohio State 16, Texas 17, South Carolina 18, TCU 19, and Michigan State 20. My final five were Florida 21, Virginia Tech at 22, Kansas State at 23, Oklahoma State at 24, and North Carolina at 25.
See, when you get into the 20s, that's where I think it has to be a little more difficult.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. But, like, I see the people on here that they requested to vote. And, you know, Tim Healy at Arizona State. He's a Penn State graduate, by the way. Brian Jeffries at Arizona. Joe Starkey, who does Stanford. Mark Johnson, who does Colorado. Paul Keels at Ohio State. Gary Dolphin at Iowa. Woody Wes Durham at Georgia Tech. Yeah, I mean, on and on. I mean, these are the people they asked. Greg Sharp at Nebraska's on here. Gary Hahn, who does North Carolina State. Dave Ennett, who does Northwestern. And, I mean, Joe Fisher, who does Vanderbilt. I mentioned I worked with Kevin Stallings last night. He thinks very highly of Joe Fisher. So, I mean, these are just some of the people they asked to do it. Now, whether everybody did it or not, I don't know.
I don't know. They have the icon on the screen. It's a football with a headset and microphone on it and says the 2012 announcers poll, but I don't see a link where you could check it out just yet. So they must be still compiling.
Well, they're supposed to announce it today at SEC Media Day.
No, maybe. That I think is done.
Yeah. So that's when they were supposed to announce it. And, you know, my mess? Who knows? Who knows where my mess comes in? But.
That link's not active yet, so they must not have posted it just yet.
Okay. Well, be fun to see exactly how close it is, and if they reveal who actually voted or not. Maybe there's maybe if it's exact to mine, that means I'm the only guy that voted.
Yeah,
That'll be the tip-off right there. If, like, wow, it really matches Steve's perfectly. Maybe Steve's the only one that voted.
I want to go back to this sporting news poll that I just found. This came out a while back now. Gary Danielson was number one. Chris Collinsworth was two. Al Michaels was three. Phil Sims was four. Herb Street was five.
Okay.
Aikman was six. Go ahead.
Herb Street does a really good job.
Oh, absolutely. Aikman was six. Ron Franklin was seven.
Really?
Yeah. They said he has a great voice and a calm, comfortable style.
Yes, he does. No, yes, he does. I was surprised only because it seems like he has been out of the limelight lately.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, he has not gotten the A games on ESPN. Let's put it that way. Vern Lundquist is eight. Joe Buck at nine. I'll be honest with you. I like Joe Buck better at football than I do baseball. I'll say that. That's just me. Jim Nance is 10. I like him better in golf. Tirico's 11.
Friends with Mike. I like Mike a lot.
Oh, he's really solid. Nestler's 12. Musburger is 13. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess everybody's tired of looking live. Gruden is 14. I like Gruden, though.
I like Gruden a lot.
I really like Gruden. I really like Gruden a lot. Daryl Johnston is 15. Jaworski is 16. I think Jaworski is way too low on this list.
Obviously ESPN didn't feel that way.
No, but I mean, there is nobody at breaking down a game better than Jaworski. Maybe the reason he's down on this list is because it goes above a lot of people. I don't know.
Good.
It goes above me. Todd Blackledge made the list at 19. Followed by, let's see, the round out the top 25. The 25 will be Fouts, Bob Papa, Mike Patrick, Chris Fowler, Gus Johnson, and Dick Enberg.
Where's Brad Nestler?
Hang on. Maybe I passed him up. Oh, Nestler's 12.
Oh, okay.
Nestler's 12. I'm sorry. I saw Musburger and bounced over Nestler. He's 12.
Right. Because Nestler's really, really good. Really good.
And Dick Enberg rounding out the top 25.
Dick Enberg's third year doing the Padres right now. So the announcer's poll, say, I told you it was so irrelevant, there's no story about it.
Yeah, that does say how relevant this poll must have been.
I told you it wasn't going to be relevant. I told you that. I just said, but you know what? He sent me the email, and I thought to myself, you know what? And I have to have a vote in, by the way, every Sunday by midnight. And I thought to myself, you know what? Have a little fun with it. There haven't been a lot of fun lately. Okay, so have a little fun with it. So I thought, what the heck? Give it a shot. Put it there. I know it doesn't affect anything. I think I'd have a different approach to it if I thought it affected a national championship or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, I conscientiously try to put together 25 teams. Now, idealistically, would I rather put it together on October 1st after I have a better read on watching everybody play? Of course. But you know what? Top 25 polls serve a purpose in the preseason. While not accurate and very difficult to do, I might add, because you have to get a feel as to who's back and how they finished last year and things like that when you put something like that together. The fans love it. And you know what? If the fans love it, then you should keep doing it. Because in the end, they're the consumers, and they're the ones that you're trying to attract to the game. Well, if you put a number next to a team, and today it's 17th-ranked Nebraska against 14th-ranked Penn State, well, the number to the left of the team draws eyeballs to the TV set and gets people into stadiums. And I think if you want to do a preseason poll like that, you know, you can criticize them, whatever you want. They're inaccurate, so forth. But you know what? The fans like it.
But no preseason poll. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But no preseason poll should have anybody other than the last year's national champion at that list until they get bounced off. That's just my opinion.
Say that again?
Preseason polls. Last year's national champion should be the number one team until they get beaten.
I disagree with that. So, you know what? When I remember talking with Russ Rose, and when Penn State was winning the four straight national championships in volleyball, right? Okay?
I'm following.
Something he pointed out to me that he emphasized to each one of those teams was that this season is not a carryover from last season. That every season is different and that every team has its own personality. So even though, for example, Megan Hodge, who's on the U.S. Olympic team, was on three of those national championship teams in a row. She won it as a sophomore, a junior, and a senior. And even though she was there every year, and Alicia Glass, who is the alternate on the U.S. Olympic team, was the setter each of those years, you still have individuals that graduate, you still have freshmen that come in, and you still end up with a different mix, and you also end up with different leadership every year, because usually, not universally, but usually your leadership is from your seniors. They graduate. New leaders need to step up. Freshmen come in. Personality of the team changes. It may be subtle in some areas, but they're different. And that's why you cannot, in my opinion, put the defending national champion at number one, because they may have graduations in certain spots that are going to keep them from being in the top spot.
And I totally understand that point, but I'm always of the mindset that you have to lose it on the field before you lose that top spot. And that's my problem with preseason polls in general. You're speculating about something that the preseason poll you just did, they haven't even had a full practice yet. I mean, and you've said that when you were talking about this poll earlier, that was one of the things that you always had trouble with these preseason polls. But, and that's why I think the national champion has to be the number one team again until they get beaten. I get the whole thing about the dynamics of the team changing. And in week one, they may very well show that because of the changing in dynamics, they're not going to be the number one team anymore. I just like to see it on the field.
Well, in the end, that's what it's about, on the field.
These things are just for fun, and like you said, to get people interested and talking again.
Oh, sure it is, and it's a great conversation piece. And polls, a college basketball poll is totally irrelevant. It's nice, but a college basketball poll is totally irrelevant. Why? Because they have a tournament. But in college football, the poll I voted in, the announcers poll, has no relevance at all. It's not a part of the BCS formula or anything like that. But this is the AP poll. AP poll isn't either. And, you know, it's the Harris poll. It's the coaches poll. I mean, those are the polls that are used along with the computers. AP is not used. And then certainly the one I voted in, there's no way on the planet it's used for anything except entertainment purposes. But fans like going into the opening week of the season and seeing, like last year, number two LSU, number six Oregon, and it draws eyeballs to the set.
One of the two people you enjoyed playing golf with a couple of weeks ago, Drew Kelly, on line one for you, sir.
Yes.
How are you?
Drew, it's great to hear from you, and I just want to say that I really, really enjoy playing with you on the golf course, and Mr. Mahoney. It was thoroughly enjoyable. I can't remember the fourth, but you were a lot of fun.
As I said, one of the two guys you enjoyed playing golf with.
Yes. The feeling is mutual. Thank you.
Yes.
Here's my comment on top 25 college football polls, and any poll for that matter. I guess I'm with Steve on this one. I disagree with Kevin in that last year's national champion has to be the preseason number one. I mean, what if number two lost to number one in the finals, and the number two team is full of freshmen and the number one team is full of seniors, and you've got a completely different squad coming in? Wouldn't you think that number two should be the preseason number one then?
Of course.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, but that's based on it's still based on speculation, which is why I don't like these polls anyway. Because you're speculating on everything before anything is actually happening. And that's why I always have the belief that the former national champion gets the number one slot, because they haven't been beaten yet, even though they may be in week one.
Well, last year the national champion was beaten by the team that they beat in the national championship game. And not only that, they lost to them on their home field. So you know, there's a lot to it. And I think when I look at it, Drew, I don't know how you look at it, but how I look at it, I look at how they finished last year, and then I try to get a feel as to which players are back, starting with the quarterback and then working my way through other key spots.
It is, it's always an uphill climb, too. And, you know, after every loss, you'll drop 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spots. And after every win, you go up 1 or 2 spots. And that's always been the – it's like dragging up a cume in college. It's always been a difficult uphill climb, but very easy to slide down.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the only thing that I wish I could have on this poll is I wish they would say it would be Monday at midnight. Because I would like to have the fans on Monday help me, you know, vote in the poll so that I would put out a poll that was representative of our audience instead of have to have it in by Sunday night at midnight.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I'd like to, you know, use the audience to help determine where certain teams should be in the poll because our audience is very perceptive.
Yeah, I completely agree that it adds to the game. I love, you know, when you can go to a game that's got ranked opponents. I think it really, you know, makes it more exciting. You hit the nail on the head there. And it'll just be interesting to see, you know, how this season plays out with all these unknown factors and new coaches. And I'm ready.
Yep. I think everybody's ready for something. I think they're ready to, you know, and I'll tell you, being at the ballpark's been a great distraction. I know that. So, you know, and again, none of us have lost our focus on what's going on. But at the same time, we have to move forward, and I want to move forward. Drew, thanks so much. As you well know, we have to take a break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai wants to help you save big money. We're talking thousands of dollars on remaining 2012 models on the lot. America's best built vehicles with America's best warranty. We're talking 10 years or 100,000 miles. How about 0% interest on select new Hyundai? That's right, 0%. And how about long-term savings at the pump? Hyundai has 7 models getting over 40 mpg. And just when you think you can't get any better, Sunbury Motors Hyundai will give you an additional set of tires. Plus, in the month of July, we're featuring the stylish midsize sedan, the Hyundai Sonata, and its class-leading fuel economy with an extra $1,000 off the remaining 2012 models on the lot. Hurry in. The remaining 12s won't last long. The Hyundai Sonata. You love it when you see it, and you'll love it when you drive it. Plus, at 35 mpg, you'll love the fuel economy. All Hyundais are packed with safety features for your family. So if you're shopping for a Camry, Accord, Altima, or Malibu, you have to come to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to check out the Sonata at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Or go online at sunburyhyundai.com. That's sunburyhyundai.com.
Little Phil Collins to close it out.
Oh, wait. That's not what I wanted. Oh, this is what I should have played. On the
road again. Little Willie Nelson to close it out.
There we go.
This will be the home of the New York Penn League All-Star Game next month. I would venture to say there are probably 3 Williamsport Crosscutters and 3 Spikes that'll make that game. That'll be here at Eastwood Field, which is a beautiful facility for minor league baseball. It is hot here. It is 95 degrees, but the wind's really kicked up here. That flag in the center field is starched and blowing straight out. That's the only thing that's keeping things palatable here right now. A lot of pine trees and maples out behind the wall here at Eastwood Field.
What's the temperature inside the booth, though?
Oh, it's 70 degrees.
Okay.
It's very nice.
All right.
Very nice. Very
I just didn't want everybody to think that you were out in the sweltering heat doing the program without any air conditioning.
No, I'm not. No. I was out in the elements on Friday. It's fine. Okay. Well, that wraps up the show for today. Great to have you with us. Don't forget, top of the hour, Sarah Bartlett and the news. Along with our news block, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, I'm Steve Jones on the Kevin Hirsch Show.